Hey, KID crew, so much for us to talk about today. We definitely have some really interesting conversations popping up, and a lot of them are stemming from the funeral today for the 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter. And he is being remembered for his humanity. Joining me in the studio right now on this Thought Leader Thursday is Hayden Polson. He is a member of the Pocatello City Council. And Hayden, thanks so much for coming into the studio and taking a moment to chat with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Hayden, really interesting today to see some of these interactions. Five living U.S. presidents, they were all in the same room. And it was interesting because there was certainly a chilly reception between Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband Doug Emhoff, and then President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden. Very chilly. A lot of people referring to it as some frostbite. And then, on the opposite end of the spectrum, you had President-elect Trump and President Barack Obama chatting it up. Now, we could not tell what they were talking about, but it was warm, it was cordial. And one of the things that a lot of folks are talking about is the fact that the vice president kind of noticed it and then ignored the two presidents. But as you watch that interaction between President-elect Trump and President Obama, it's opening the door to a lot of great conversation, given the fact that we know these two men are very opposite in terms of their politics, their policies, their demeanor. And we're just coming off the campaign trail, and President Obama was campaigning fiercely against President-elect Trump, and yet they were able to bridge the gap and be cordial to one another. And that's a lot of what is being talked about today. Hayden, as you look at where we're at as a country, as a community, as a state, what do you believe is the key component for us to be able to bridge some of those gaps that exist?
I really think it's policy, not politics. I was very clear during my election and when I was running that whoever you voted for, that was your decision, why you did that. You know, I didn't get to talk to every single voter, but when you have those conversations with each other over policy, you find you actually do have common ground. Like on Pocatello City Council, we have a Republican legislator, Rick Cheatham. I am a Democrat. I've always been honest about that. And we find a common ground to find solutions for our constituents. And I think that's what's important.
And, you know, one of the prime examples that really resonated with me was the fact that President Gerald Ford and President Jimmy Carter forged this friendship that was able to transcend politics. And what's truly interesting about that is the fact that Jimmy Carter beat out President Ford. And so clearly they had some harsh words for one another throughout the heart of that battle. But they found a way to put that aside and they became very close friends. And in fact, they found a way to just work together and form this friendship. And so when President Ford had asked President Carter to give his eulogy, President Carter agreed and said, "But I want you to do the same." So President Ford wrote that eulogy before his death. And then his son actually delivered that. Stephen Ford delivered his words. So it was powerful to hear the words of President Ford being delivered at this eulogy for President Carter. And one thing that stood out is he said, "We used one of the privileges of former presidents. We found a way to just forget that either of us had ever said any harsh words about the other in the heat and the heart of battle. And I think that's great advice for all of us. If they can come together and forge this friendship, there's a lot of possibility.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. We see how divisive and toxic it is across the country right now. And exactly to your point, do I think it's possible? Yes. Do I think realistic? We'll find out. But I do think that is very important.
It is important. And I think it comes down to remembering that we're all on the same team. And sometimes in politics, people get so invested in their own agenda, their own ideology, that they simply forget that. But the truth is, you can't cheer against a president such as President-elect Trump, who's coming into office in just a couple of weeks now, and still cheer for America. And I am not sure that everyone really understands that at this point.
Yeah, but I guess also with how toxic it really was, especially 24 and 2020 and 16, it's really been 8 years of it. I think getting people out of that mindset is really hard. And even seeing with current things coming out of state legislatures, etc., I'm still not seeing, though, an effort for goodwill, though, for, quote, both sides. So it really does need to go both ways. I understand not mudslinging. I really do not like that.
Right.
But also, there does need to be goodwill to the other 49% of the people, you know, whether it was in 2024 or 2020.
And how do you think we achieve that goodwill? What would you like to see happen?
I would really love for people to not get so stuck on partisanship. Like, I guess I have the luxury of being in a non-partisan position, but let's be honest, most things still are partisan. But when you're talking about policy, not politics, how can we help this amount of people and do it the best way? Let's find a common ground. You and I might be diametrically opposed. However, I know we can find a middle ground to do it. So we need to have those conversations, especially whether it's a city council, legislature, etc.
I absolutely love that you brought up this idea that we focus an awful lot on partisan issues. And I say all the time here on the show, look, compassion, humanity, respect, common sense, those things are not partisan issues.
Exactly.
They're really not. They're human issues. And yet, I think we can sit here and point to countless times where we have seen folks try to make those issues partisan issues. But at the end of the day, they're human issues. Mm-hmm. I think you've hit on something. Finding that middle ground is the beginning step for us.
Well, there are some things. I understand the refusal to compromise on, you know, certain issues like, you know, basic human rights, etc. Women, LGBT people, etc., they don't want to slide back. So I understand not to compromise on those issues. But there are so many others that have been tainted by the war or anti-binary.
Right.
It should not matter.
It should not matter. We will keep you in studio, Hayden Poulsen, and continue the conversation after this.
Climb in and hold on tight, KID crew. It's time for the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota on KID News Radio 92.1 and 106.3, online at KIDNewsRadio.com.
KID crew, on this Thought Leader Thursday, there's a lot of emphasis being placed on character. A lot of people looking at the kind of legacy they want to leave, and a lot of people focused on how we can bridge the gaps that exist right now and create more unity. There is an interesting show, and we're going to chat about that. Joining me in studio is Hayden Poulsen from the Pocatello City Council. He is here for Thought Leader Thursday. And Hayden, this show is a sitcom with Tim Allen and Kate Denning. It's called Shifting Gears. And it came out today that the creators of that show are really hoping that this is going to heal some of the generational divide and bring some unity. And certainly we continue to hear how a lot of the younger generation loves to kind of make jokes about baby boomers, okay, boomer, and all of that. And so we have seen some of that divide play out. And I first really noticed it on a lot of the Disney shows as my kids were younger. And it became a favorite punchline.
Well, it was always the dad.
The dumb dad, right? And it was always about the kids just laughing at their dad. What a contrast from the days of Mike and Carol Brady, where they were put on a pedestal by their kids, by their kids' friends, for their wisdom. So a lot of folks seeing, we have definitely turned a corner and we're experiencing some different things as far as that goes. But this sitcom, hopefully it will be able to bridge some of those divides. Hayden, one of the things that came out in this funeral, and it was said by President Carter's grandson, he said that his grandpa was an original millennial because of a lot of the things he cared about and a lot of his mindset. They said, yeah, he was a millennial before it was even really a thing. As you look at that generational gap, it's always existed. We've always talked about it, but it seems like it's definitely a little bit wider as technology continues to evolve. What are you seeing with regard to that generational gap?
So I kind of have a little unique experience. Like, I was able to grow up with my great-grandparents. They've all passed now. But I see my grandfather every single day. He's almost 80. And so I see those gaps, you know, every single day. And I think, especially for people roughly my age, I'm 30, we have to remember how different life was, you know, 80 years ago. You know, we complain or make jokes about dial-up, but there wasn't even computers.
No.
So it's like trying to be sympathetic and empathetic on both ends of the worlds we grew up in are complete 180s from each other. So we just need to be compassionate about, you know, I may not know how to do something that he knows how to, but I know he doesn't know how to do something that I can help him with. So just that mutual teaching and trust.
I love that you pointed that out, because one of the things that I see is a lot of this younger generation is so fixated on influencers, on YouTubers, and they're looking to those folks for life wisdom as their role models. And I think, you know what? You don't want to have somebody who's your peer as your role model, because they haven't been around the block any more times than you have, and they can't impart some of that wisdom. So I think we do have to bring back some of that mutual respect. And I think it's about recognizing, just like you said, Hayden, okay, maybe they don't know as much about computers and technology, but there are a lot of things they know that the younger generation doesn't. A lot about face-to-face communication, a lot about really tapping into creativity instead of being glued to a screen 24/7. So I definitely believe there's a way to really work together in a beautiful way.
Oh, I agree. Like, it's truly, I consider myself very lucky to have this opportunity to be with my grandpa every single day. And the amount that we learn from each other, it is truly the most rewarding thing. I just, you know, whether you're an older curmudgeon, you know, critiquing the youth, or you're a young one saying, okay, boomer, like, there really is room to learn from each other. And it's so rewarding.
There really is so much room. And as you pointed out, a lot of differences. Sometimes I have told my kids stories about getting lost back in the day. And they're like, well, why didn't you just call someone or get navigation up on your cell phone. It's like, we didn't have that. We had this thing called a payphone. You stop at a gas station, hope somebody can direct you or drop a coin in and call somebody and say, help, I'm lost. But it's really hard for them to really even fathom that idea. What do you mean you didn't have a phone? No, we drove around and we didn't have a cell phone. And you know what? There are some things about that that I miss, because you could really disconnect and decompress in a way that you can't right now. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody called you when you were out, you just missed the call.
I totally agree with you. And it really drives me nuts, because phones as we know them, smartphones, have really only existed for about 15 years.
Right.
Roughly. Before that, your time was your time. If you were gone, you weren't at everybody's beck and call.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, let's say I get a text or a phone call, I am not obligated to respond to you that instant.
Like, but people think, right. But don't you think people get really frustrated? Even if, let's say you're on vacation, it's hard to really be on vacation, mm-hmm. because everybody knows you've got that cell phone attached to your hip. And they just think, well, you can answer this question or you can answer that email. And so you don't get that time. I mean, I've told my kids, I remember back in the day when I was a kid and my parents would go on vacation, they would leave the number of the hotel in case of an emergency. So our grandparents or aunt or uncle, whoever was watching us, knew what hotel, and that's the number. And otherwise, their time was really theirs.
Uh-huh. No, I love that. And I think the most rewarding thing I've done is delete most social media. I do have an Instagram for, you know, my city council seat, but beyond that, like, I really don't. And it feels so much better to just.
It's so freeing, right? To be able to just kind of relax, kick back, and not have to feel that pressure. But I love that you pointed out that we kind of put that pressure on ourselves, because truly, we shouldn't be expected to respond just like that.
Well, and just, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and the 2025 version of it, just because you're seeing someone on a screen, you know, whether they're, you know, my haul from so-and-so store, watch me, like, come on, that can't be rewarding.
Right. So true. And you know what? You're hitting at something that I think it's important to remember. There's always more to every story than meets the eye. And you know what? We look at these images and think they're perfect, but they're choreographed to look perfect, but there's more going on behind the camera. So true, right? Hayden Polson from the Pocatello City Council, thanks for stopping by. All right, we'll be back after this.